Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this week's Off the Bench podcast. I'm Lee from FPL Family.
And I'm FPL Harry.
Hey, Harry, the curse of the most transferred in struck us yet again, didn't it? Yet again. Julian Alvarez returning just a single point in game week six, having been bought in by, get this, 1.37 million managers. Just a one-pointer for Alvarez. Unbelievable. Chilwell, once again, found himself on the bench only to come on and to be booked. Gusto on the other side of that Chelsea defence, red carded. And of course, many FPL managers, Nicholas Jackson up front, who picked up already his fifth yellow card of this season, meaning that he's suspended now in game week seven. So I'm sure, Harry, you'll be looking forward to the Chelsea chat a bit later on. I know I am. And on the other side of London, Brentford struggled while Arsenal and Spurs played out a very, very highly entertaining draw. I, like 283,000 other FPL managers, played my wild card this week as well. So more about that later on. But Harry, let's kick off this chat about game week six and find out how you got on.
It was a bit of a roller coaster week for me. So I got 75 points. It's a very small red arrow. It was saved at the end by double Newcastle defence. So I had Fabian Schär. Didn't quite have Kieran Trippier. Anyone listening who has Kieran Trippier's clean sheet, three assists and maximum bonus points. The Kieran Trippier of last season.
What a haul.
He is back, isn't he?
Are we saying that? Is this a thing now? Are we saying Trippier's back? We're going with that, are we?
I don't know. I think Sheffield United's performance might have something to do about it. The others owning the likes of Dan Burn, I have Sven Botman and Fabian Schär, the only of the defenders not to get anything, despite me thinking he had the most attacking threat, Fabian Schär, but still pretty happy with it. 75. I held on to my double Manchester United midfield for another week. And I think we'll talk quite a lot about whether that was the right thing to do or not. I got points from Bruno Fernandes, Marcus Rashford blanking again. I am a little bit concerned about them. And I was one of the 1.37 million managers to buy Julian Alvarez.
Yeah.
But he did come in for Jackson, who only got one and is now suspended. So it's not the end of the world. How about you?
Yes, I did all right. So funny enough, 75 points as well. Played the wild card this week. It was a topsy-turvy game week, wasn't it? Full of ups and downs. I mean, at the end of Saturday, I was ready to just, you know, put the game down for the weekend because there was a load of players that did really well on the Saturday that I transferred out in my wild card. So I thought, well, United are in a bit of a sticky situation. So I'm going to get rid of Onana. I got rid of Bruno. And by the way, what a goal by Bruno Fernandes when that went in. My FPL instinct kicked in. Oh, God, sold him on my wild card. But I then had to just stand and applaud that finish because it was Van Persie-esque, wasn't it? It was so, so good.
Yeah.
I also took Foden out on my wild card. So listen, there was loads of players that I took out. So on Saturday, yeah, it really didn't go well at all. But then on Sunday, the players that I bought in on my wild card started to return for me. So Mo Salah picking up the goal and three bonus points. And I'd like to talk a little bit later on about why he's now all of a sudden a bit of a bonus points darling. So we're going to talk about him a bit later on. Kept Madison in my wild card, kept Saka as well. So the North London derby was good to me from an FPL perspective. Like you, I had Sven Botman, who, again, is really ticking over. I mean, certainly with these fixtures coming up from a Newcastle perspective, I mean, he's a definite one that FPL managers will be looking at getting in, despite, you know, obviously getting the goals, so he's going to be on radars. But the amount of bonus points that he's accumulating, he's picking up an underlying BPS every 5 minutes in FPL right now, which means that he's really doing the sort of stuff that we want him to do in FPL that's going to make sure he gets the bonus points at the end of the game week. And then Estupinan with the assist, cash as well in my team. So actually, yeah, 75 points, real roller coaster week. Would I say the wild card was a success? I think if you'd have asked me at the end of Saturday, I'd have said no. And if you asked me at the end of Sunday, I'd say it was okay. And I feel like my team is in a good position for next week.
Good. Well, yeah, it's one of those things. You can't judge a wild card after just one game week. It is always, you know, a pain when the players you transfer out, you know, you're selling good players for other good players, right? So there is that risk that it doesn't pay off straight away. But yeah, as you say, some of those that you're talking about are the ones that I look at my team and wish I had, particularly Mo Salah, who we'll talk about. But
you thinking of playing it, Harry? You thinking of your wild card on your mind? Or how are you feeling about that? Well, or when would you be thinking of playing it?
I've been looking at my team and actually I went through a period of thinking I'm going to target about game week 8 to 10, which is when a lot of the fixture swings happen for the likes of Liverpool, Aston Villa. I then have looked at my team and thought, oh, well, actually, I think I can get to a lot of the assets I want without playing it. But as time goes on, I add like one or two names to that list of players I want to target. I then start to think, well, if I want them all, I'm going to be taking -4s to try and get them. So I'm now back in the camp of, I reckon I'm going to end up playing it in about game week 10. It's probably the week that I look to do it. Arsenal have a couple of difficult games coming up. I can then target their run until Christmas as well. I'm not set on it. I'm completely up in there. It might depend on how some of my team do over the next couple of weeks as well. So yeah, I'm a bit indecisive this season about when I'm going to play it.
Yeah, well, we spoke in the intro there about the curse of the most transferred in, didn't we? And you were saying you bought in Alvarez for Jackson, yeah, which I think is going to be a transfer that a lot of FPL managers, if not have done it already in the lead up to game week 6, will now be thinking of that as a transfer going into 7, particularly with Nicholas Jackson being suspended. So Alvarez high on radar. Or is he, though? Because, you know, the one pointer at the weekend was a bit disappointing for those managers that did bring him in. The curse of the most transferred in, yeah, is absolutely real this season. I think he was a bit of a sacrificial lamb because of the Rodri sending off. It felt like Pep had to change the system. They were 2-0 up at the time when Rodri gets sent off. He wanted to kind of shore it up a little bit. And Alvarez was just the make weight, I think, for the change in system and City going a little bit more defensively. I actually like that side of City that we saw. We saw a different Man City, didn't we? We've seen the attacking side of Man City come to the fore so often over the last few years, and particularly this season already, only on game week 6. But we saw a resilience there, and Forrest coming back into the game had some chances, but City actually defended pretty stoically, I thought. But yeah, go on, tell me about Julian Alvarez then. So you brought him in this week. Any knee-jerky thoughts to kind of take him straight back out, or are you going to keep the faith with the Man City man?
I stray away. I'm going to keep the faith with him. The only slight doubt comes into my mind if he starts in the cup midweek and then they have Wolves again at the weekend before the Champions League. But we knew that before we were going to buy him in game week 6. That's nothing new. That's not changed. It's not new information. It's not a new risk that we've got. So I am going to hold faith. If we get to the press conference and we hear from Pep anything about maybe he's not ready, which we will know probably not to believe, because Pep is not always the most honest in his press conferences, and trying to predict Manchester City minutes is always the most difficult part of it. But there is a certain Carlton Morris, which we'll talk about, which might be one on my radar going into the weekend. But I'm not worried about it. I still watched the Manchester City game on Tuesday, and that's actually when I decided to bring him in. I watched that game, and I've watched a couple of Manchester City games so far this season, and I think Julian Alvarez is on such incredible form. He is playing so well. And just because there was a Rodri red card, meaning he got an early sub, doesn't change any of that really for me. So I am actually quite interested when the likes of Grealish are back, when Kevin De Bruyne comes back, exactly how he's going to fit everyone in. Now, this has been a problem we've seen before, but a great issue for Pep to have, right? He's got another great player, but how is he going to fit them all in? But it's not a problem we have to deal with anytime soon. I'm fine on Alvarez for now. How about you?
Yeah, same. I noticed for XG underachievers this week. So whenever I talk about XG underachievers, that is players that are doing all the things that we'd hope in FPL and were probably a bit unlucky not to get some points. And Julian Alvarez coming in third this game week behind Ansu Fati, actually, from Brighton, and Brennan Johnson from Spurs. So Julian Alvarez right up there for XG underachievement, which means, yeah, he was doing all the right things and passing the eye test from my perspective. He's really good at finding those little spaces, isn't he? Haaland kind of pushes the centre-halves back, keeps them occupied, as you'd expect in typical Haaland fashion, just leaving that little bit of extra space between the defence and the midfield. And Alvarez is brilliant at finding those little spaces. And the way that his body shape is as well, whenever he receives the ball, it's almost like he's almost like side on when he receives it, ready to kind of go. Mm-hmm. And whenever I see that as someone watching the game, I go, okay, well, there's a player that's ready to receive and go forward. That's his natural intent, is to go forward. So no issue with Julian Alvarez and that one pointer. Elsewhere in City, though, what's your view on the rest of the team? Because the City fixtures are kind of mixed, aren't they, for the next few? They're starting to get a little bit trickier in the medium term. But listen, the game coming up next week, you're going to be holding on to them, right?
Yeah, exactly. If you've got any of them now, if you've got Foden, you've got a defensive asset, it definitely is a hold this week. Of course, if you have Rodri and you brought him in after his form at the early point of the season, you will be looking to sell him now that he's suspended. But as you say, the fixtures are not necessarily there for them. But Manchester City are a team that, whether they play against, you know, Sheffield United, whether they play against Nottingham Forest, you expect them to win just as much as when they play against a Manchester United and Arsenal. So yes, the fixtures might look red on the ticker, but I do still expect Manchester City to win. So I do still expect points from a lot of their assets. The point maybe comes around their defence, and maybe I expect slightly less clean sheets because I expect the opposition to score, right? So when they play Arsenal away, Brighton, Manchester United, Chelsea, Liverpool in their next sort of 7 fixtures, I am expecting maybe a slight dry up of some of their clean sheets. And with the form that maybe Newcastle and Aston Villa are in, it might be time after the Wolves game to think about some of those other defenders bringing into your team. But in terms of the attack, if you've got Foden, of course, Alvarez, Haaland, they're all long-term keeps for me. It's just maybe defensively over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and you mentioned defences there, Harry, and you alluded to Newcastle. We've got to go there, haven't we? We've got to discuss this. And Sheffield United fans might want to close their ears at this stage, because I don't know how good a performance was this from Newcastle versus how poor a performance it was from Sheffield United. I don't know. I mean, if you've bought Trippier in, if you had Trippier in your FPL team, well done. That is a haul. Absolutely brilliant. We've mentioned Sven Botman earlier on as well. Dan Byrne also popping up with a goal. You know, rare collector's item from him popping up with a 12-pointer in FPL. And also the attackers chipping in as well. Bruno chipping in. You've got who else? Gordon came on and played really, really well. So what I'd like to know is, given the fixtures for Newcastle going forward, because they do look pretty good, how much are we reading into this 8-0 result at Sheffield United this weekend? Was it just that Sheffield United were that bad, or are you all aboard the hype train from a Newcastle perspective?
I'm not all aboard the hype train. I think they are great. They had 8 different goal scorers in this game, which I think is the first time that a team has scored 8 and there have been 8 different goal scorers in a Premier League game. So it is just highlight the amount of points that were shared around the team. Defensively, I think they're great, right? So they've 2 clean sheets on the bounce. It was not just Sheffield United, it was Brentford as well, a team who we were targeting their attack going into some of those early fixtures as well. So defensively, whether it's Botman, whether it's Cher, whether it's Pope in goal, whether it's Trippier or even Dan Byrne at left back, I think they are all good buys at the moment. And I think when Champions League comes, when there are the cup fixtures as well, the back four looks pretty solid. The back four looks like it's going to be the same pretty much every week. We saw Trippier come off after about 70 or so minutes. So those might be when they get some of their rest. The attack, I expect to score goals, but it feels like one of those things that in FPL, I'm just going to let it go and I'm going to let it go and go. And I'm not going to buy into it just because every week I don't know who's going to be in that lineup. Now, Wilson has started the last 2, but Isaac's been playing in the Champions League. So it could easily be that one Premier League game, when Isaac's had a lot of difficult Champions League games, that Eddie Howe favours him in a Premier League game to maybe get him a goal in a slightly easier fixture than maybe PSG or Borussia Dortmund in the Champions League as they've got. So particularly up front, I'm a little bit concerned. Gordon came on though, and I was more impressed with him than I think I've ever been seeing him play.
Really good.
Been a little bit sceptical of him at Everton and then at Newcastle in the first sort of time he was there. And now this season, he really looks like he's come completely into his own. So I really like him, and it depends on how long Harvey Barnes is going to be out for, because it might make Gordon slightly more assured of minutes going forward if Harvey Barnes is out for a while. But then you look on the right hand side again, and you can have Almiron, you can have Jacob Murphy. There's just a little bit too much going on in that forward line that, yes, they might be good for one particular game week, but as soon as the next game week comes around, you're sat waiting for that team sheet to come out, wondering if your player's going to start. And if they don't start, you think Newcastle are going to score 3 or 4 goals while your player is sat on the bench, which is the last thing you want. So defensively, I think at least one is a good idea. I have 2, and I would probably advise doing the same, looking at how their fixtures go and looking how they're playing as well. Up front, I think there's some good punts in there. I like Gordon, but we have so many midfielders that I think I'm going to let the attack go. But I completely understand why people might want a Wilson, because even if he plays every second game, if he's scoring a goal and an assist every second game and he comes on for 30 minutes in the other game, right, he can still get returns, but I just prefer a more nailed option. But then we're talking about how Alvarez might not be that anymore. So I like the attack, but I'm slightly worried about still with the difficult Champions League fixtures they've got. And of course, they have cup game against Manchester City this week as well.
Yeah, I agree with you, Harry, on the forward line. It's difficult to go there, isn't it? So many different options, Champions League rotation kicking in. I'm with you. I'm not going to go there. But defensively, I mean, Sven Botman looks like a bit of a no-brainer, doesn't he? Super cheap. Still not owned by loads of people in FPL, right? Not a lot of FPL managers have gone there, but he was one of the first names on my team sheet when I was pulling the game week 6 wildcard together. So, yeah, a bit of goal threat from him. And as I said at the top of the pod, he's feeding those underlying BPS that eventually lead to bonus points. So, assuming Newcastle aren't going to win 8-0 every week, which I don't think they are, it's going to have closer games, 1-0s, 2-0s. You'd expect Sven Botman to be picking up, you know, a clean sheet with maybe a bonus point here or there as well. If you can't go for Trippier because there is still, you know, a couple of million between them, then Botman looks the one for me. Looks really, really good. From a Sheffield United perspective, are they a team we should target now? And from that perspective, let's talk about West Ham and Liverpool. So the game that was just played at the weekend, West Ham coming up against Sheffield United in game week 7. Do we now want to have a look at the likes of James Ward-Prowse? Do we want to have a look at the likes of Bowen and maybe Antonio and Paqueta and the West Ham assets? Because you've got to be looking at that Sheffield United result, and maybe we'll get a reaction from Sheffield United. But I'd back West Ham to do really well from set pieces in the same way that Newcastle did. That was something that really stood out for me at that game at the weekend, was how potent Newcastle were. And listen, they've got an elite set piece deliverer in Kieran Trippier, but so have West Ham in James Ward-Prowse. And I just wonder whether might not be 8-0, but we might get another repeat where Sheffield United again a week from set pieces, and someone like James Ward-Prowse could really profit next week, right?
West Ham have been one of those teams I've had my eye on their performances all throughout the start of the season, yeah. And it feels like finally their fixtures are starting to turn, and I have my eye on quite a few of them going into game week 7 and onwards as well. In midfield, both Bowen and James Ward-Prowse look like great assets. Bowen scoring the goal despite them losing 3-1 at the weekend, and James Ward-Prowse is ticking along nicely. I need to get out of my brain the James Ward-Prowse at Southampton playing deep, being the sort of
yeah, totally,
being the sort of playmaker, because he's playing so much further forward at West Ham and is so much more involved. And it's not like I feel that these attacking returns that he's got have been fortunate and are going to be sort of hit and miss like they were at Southampton. I feel like he's going to be involved in what they do pretty much every single week. And we know West Ham are a team that love to score goals from set pieces, and he is going to be taking pretty much all of them going forward as well. So
yeah,
he's just over 6 million, I think 6.2 million. Bowen is in at 7.1 million, and I like them both equally. I find it quite a hard decision to go and potentially pick between the two of them. I think they're both great. It might depend on a little bit of how much budget you've got. I think Bowen will probably score more points over the course of the season. But if you don't have the money for Bowen, then I think James Ward-Prowse is equally as good an asset. The other one that I cannot wait to bring into my team is Areola in goal. 4.1 million at the moment.
Great budget keeper.
Yeah, looks like he's going to go up in price. I'm still stuck with a certain Jordan Pickford in my team, getting very few points every single week. So the Pickford to Areola move is going to happen at some point. Whether it's this week or not, I don't quite know. But yeah, been really impressed with West Ham, and I think it's definitely time to be considering them. Those three are probably my top three. So Areola in goal, then we've got Ward-Prowse and Bowen as well. Is there anyone else that you consider, any of the centre-backs? If we're considering Ward-Prowse for his corners, then surely some of the centre-backs have got to be considered for their goal threat.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, you're going to be getting the likes of Zouma up there, getting his head on the end of things, right? But I just think, despite that possible goal threat from the centre-halves, and listen, you know, the fixtures for West Ham look pretty good from an attacking perspective. Obviously, Sheffield United up next, but then Newcastle, Villa, even got Brentford away coming up in 11. So I don't know if I necessarily see tons of clean sheets there. And even Everton at home in 10 looks like really good on paper. But you know, maybe we're going to see a new Everton now. You know, Sean Dyche got it absolutely right, I think, at the Brentford Community Stadium at the weekend. Yeah. We'll talk about that game in a minute. Tactically, I think they were spot on, Everton. So I don't know if I see lots of clean sheets there from a West Ham perspective. So no, I don't think so. Plus, I've got Areola already in place. I got him in on the wild card. I just think he's a, you know, we spoke before about, you know, Botman being a bit of a no-brainer. I think Areola is as well, in the way that he's playing. Seems to be locked in as number one goalkeeper now above Fabianski, etc. at West Ham. So it is James Ward-Prowse for me. He's the one, and I hear what you were saying before. He's the one, actually, that's getting in support of the striker a lot of the time. You know, we have to get the old kind of James Ward-Prowse only gets FPL points from set pieces out of our heads, I think, because genuinely watched that Liverpool game pretty closely, obviously, at the weekend. And he was up there supporting the striker. So if you add that narrative into the fact that he does take the set pieces and the corners, and he'll keep ticking over assists from that perspective too, I love him. I think he's a really, really good option. And with Sheffield United coming up next and that Everton game on the horizon as well, he is one that's bang on radar for me. Elsewhere, though, in that game, let's talk about my team. Let's talk about Liverpool. So Mo Salah doing what Mo Salah does. Or is he? Because we've seen in previous seasons where Salah gets the goal, but, you know, Liverpool, you know, pretty attacking so far this season, not struggling to score goals, struggling for clean sheets. We seem to be conceding the odd goal pretty much every week, but certainly from an attacking perspective, looking good. And Mo, historically for us, is, you know, unless he gets a brace, tends to be, you know, swerves the bonus points, doesn't he? Kind of like maybe gets the one or the two and somebody else gets the three. But Salah gets the penalty at the weekend in a 3-1 win against West Ham. Gets the three bonus points, which I was very pleased to see. Double-digit haul with 10 points.
Yeah.
Are we seeing a slightly different, more creative, more big chance creating Mo Salah as well? And I'd like your opinion on, because I have a bit of a, I have a strong opinion on this, whether Nunes starting for Liverpool is a good thing for Mo Salah from a creativity perspective. Because I did notice that there was a massive bonus point swing where Nunes missed two big chances for Liverpool in that game against West Ham, both created by Mo Salah. So Salah gets the underlying BPS for big chances created. Mm-hmm. And then Nunes gets minus underlying BPS for missing those chances.
Yeah.
Very happy to have Mo in my team. Of course, he's going to cost you a lot of FPL pounds if you want to bring him into your FPL team. And maybe if you're looking for a more budget route into Liverpool, you know, Jota got a goal at the weekend. You've got Gakpo still knocking around. Of course, you could go Nunes up front as well, who's still pretty budget friendly. but for surety of starts and for penalties and for creative threat and now for underlying BPS as well, I still think it's Mo. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Looking at the bonus points, I think it's quite interesting this weekend because Salah did get the most, but Darwin was one of the other goal scorers. And as you said, he missed big chances, which naturally knocks you down the bonus point system. Jota scored and he didn't start the game. So naturally, his bonus points for passes, things like that as well, is not going to be as high up. The assist came from McAllister and then Van Dijk, and there was no clean sheet there as well. So Salah naturally was probably more likely to get three bonus points in this game than most of the other Liverpool games that we've got. He has been a very consistent returner so far this season. He hasn't been explosive, and I do have plans to get him into my team, and I am going to go with him over any of the other Liverpool forwards. Just as you mentioned, it's very difficult to know who's going to start. When they start, they're great, but is it going to be Darwin? Is it going to be Gakpo? Is it going to be Diaz? Is it going to be Jota? Who is it going to be every single week? Is too much of a risk for me. So I'd rather pay the money for Salah. But then I do look elsewhere in the league, and we do see the likes of Son, we see the likes of Maddison, we see the likes of Bukayo Saka, all three of those performing very consistently as well. I don't have to completely restructure my team to have all three of those, where if I try and get to Mo Salah whilst also having, of course, Erling Haaland in my team, he is not going anywhere despite the slightly difficult Manchester City fixtures that they've got coming up. It's quite difficult to do it, right? So going Haaland-Salah looks great, but there is a very, very small part of my mind that thinks it's much easier if I'm going to captain Haaland most weeks. If I need a second captain, Son looks great, and he actually looks more explosive than Salah does at the moment. Mm. Then I can just have Saka and Maddison teching along. I think with the Liverpool fixtures that they've got coming up now, I've always had in my mind that I'm going to buy Mo Salah, and I think I'll probably still do it. But I understand people who think if they're not going to captain him, that actually having that money spread across midfield in the likes of Son, Maddison, Saka, who are consistent and also have good fixtures, that there is a reason that you might not have Mo Salah in your team. I think he's a great asset, but it's not explosive like we've seen him before.
Yeah, I think you're right. The fixtures coming up, though, for me, just I'm licking my lips as a Salah owner. I mean, the Spurs game is obviously going to be difficult. We're going to talk about North London, a brilliant North London derby this weekend in just a second. So going away to Spurs, I think it's the evening kickoff as well next weekend. So you're going to be under the lights at that stadium. The Spurs fans are going to be fully, you know, they're going to be so behind that team. Very, very difficult fixture for Liverpool. Then it's Brighton away in eight for Salah. And we've seen how Brighton, you know, they'd like to concede a bit of XG, right? They're pretty up there in terms of the XGC this season.
Yeah.
Great going forward. And we saw another couple of great goals from Mitoma. He just came on as a sub and scored immediately, didn't he? So for his owners, that was a rollercoaster weekend for Mitoma owners. But they do like to concede. They'd leave space in behind. And I think Salah can exploit that. But then it's from nine. It's from nine. The three games from 9, 10, 11 is Everton at home, Forest at home, and then Luton away. And the other thing that you've got to consider with Liverpool is that we don't play in the Champions League. Okay, we're playing in the Europa League. I understand that it's going to be a few Thursday, Sunday, possible rotations that Klopp might put out there. But listen, there's no doubt that Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool are prioritising the league this year and getting back in that top four. I'm absolutely not going to sit here and say that we are in a title race or, you know, in any way title contenders. But what I will say is we've started the season really, really well, despite some difficult fixtures away at Chelsea, away at Newcastle. And now the fixtures are starting to clear up. So I just think that there's some sort of like safety as like a comfort blanket that comes with having Salah in your team, I think. And you're right. The question you've got to ask yourself as an FPL manager is, do you want to pay 4, 5, maybe even 6 million more for that comfort of Salah over a Darwin or a Jota or a Gakpo or something like that? It is a big dilemma, no doubt about it. But the way that we're scoring goals, we are pretty free scoring. You know, I've even considered having, you know, a couple. And if you don't go for Salah in your team, you could have like a Diaz and a Jota or a Diaz and a Nunes or something like that. You can spread the funds like that. So would you consider that as an option, Harry, having two of the Liverpool forwards, you know, the non-Salah Liverpool forwards, or would you go all out and get Mo?
Yeah, I suppose the issue with that is I can only start one of them every week, right? So I'd only be taking up two spots in my 11, or I'd be having one on the bench. I'd probably just stick with Salah again, because if it gets to that point where I had two, I would be worried that one of them's not going to start every week, right? Because if one of them's going to start, that means there's then three of them for one spot. So that would worry me if I went for the double up. I'd probably just back one of them. And if I'm going to go without Salah, I'd pick one of the others and go, right, it's going to be Darwin or it's going to be Diaz, who definitely started the season the strongest. But yeah, I think I am going to look at Salah. I do think that comfort blanket is something I need. I've got so many players in my team who are Hall 1 week, blank the next week, Hall the one week, blank the next week. So
you want that consistency that you get with Mo, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I need that 6 or 7 pointer every week. That's just going to, you know, 6, 7 up to 10 pointer every week. That's just going to tick along. So
is that enough though, Harry? Is that enough? Is that 12 million in FPO? Is that enough to be consistently ticking over at 5, 6? You want, like you say, you want the Son explosiveness, don't you?
Yeah, it's true, but my maths isn't quick enough to do it on the spot. But if he's doing seven, if he scores 7 points every week over a 38-game season, he's going to be scoring.
Probably take that.
You'll probably be taking that as one of the highest scoring players in the game up there alongside Erling Haaland. So yes, it might not be explosive. It might impact whether you want to captain him or not. But over a long period of time, particularly if you're on wildcard, because you have a long period of time until you play your next wildcard, having that consistency of points, I think, is a good idea. So as much as I'm doubting whether he's really worth 12.5 million, I need the comfort blanket in my team at the moment, given some of the other FPL assets I've got. So yeah, I'd definitely be finding ways to get him in. It will happen at game week 9 at the latest, but I would like him for that Brighton game. As you said, I do feel that they are leaking chances a little bit this season. Sure. And they did at the end of last season as well. So I think he could do well there, but it's definitely that Everton, Forest, Luton run that I fancy.
Yeah, it's definitely some comfort. I didn't like it in game week 1 not having Salah in my team. So I wasn't going to play my wild card and make the same mistake again. He was absolutely in. So Liverpool's opponents in game week 7 are Tottenham Hotspur. Let's talk about how well they're playing. Let's talk about the Ange Postecoglou factor at Spurs right now and the North London derby in general, which was, I went to the game. It was a brilliant game. The atmosphere at the Emirates was unbelievable. It's the first time I've been to a North London derby and it was unreal. Really, really good. Two teams in form, really going at it.
Yeah.
Saka getting the points. I was really hoping that that first shot was on target despite the deflection from Romero. So only an assist and a goal for Saka in the end, but really influential to their play. So, you know, he for me was an easy hold on my wild card. He was going nowhere. Maybe hobbled off a little bit towards the end of the game. I noticed that Destiny Udogi for Spurs was top for tackles amongst the game week. So no player put in more tackles than Destiny Udogi in game week 6. And I think Saka felt the force of most of those tackles, didn't he? So we've got to keep an eye on the Arteta press conferences, keep an eye on the Arsenal news as to how fit or otherwise Saka's going to be for the upcoming game weeks. But yeah, overall, a great game. Talk to me first about Tottenham Hotspur then, because, again, I kept Maddison on my wild card. I was pretty close to going for Rashford over Maddison because I just thought the next couple of games for Maddison looked difficult. They had obviously the Arsenal game, then Liverpool. And then I thought, well, I'll come back for Maddison in game week 9. Pretty pleased that I didn't do that. And we can talk about Man United in a sec. But Maddison looking absolutely at the heart of everything. It's very difficult to sit and say he's essential. I don't like using that word in FPL, but points per value and the fact that he's part of everything that Spurs do, even like the celebrations in front of the, you know, in front of the Spurs fans, he's got the darts out, he's doing the little, you know, the thing that Son does with his fingers and looking through the kind of camera lens or whatever it is. The fans have taken to him massively in that team, and all that Harry Kane love that they had is now going into Maddison. I think you got to have him in FPL. I think you got to have him. And if you want to have him and Son, don't mind it. It's difficult to have both, I would suggest, in your team. But if I was to have one or the other, despite the 2 goals for Son this weekend, I still think Madison's the one, you know.
Interesting. I think it's because I'm thinking, I'm sat here with Madison in my team and I'm thinking the grass is always greener on the other side, right?
I
want Son in my team as soon as possible. And if he continues playing up front as he has done, that's 5 goals in 3 games playing up front for him, which it's a surprise how many he's got, but it's not a surprise that he's a much better asset playing there than playing stuck out on the left wing where he was before. I look at their fixtures coming up as well. So after the Liverpool game, they have Luton, Fulham, Crystal Palace, then Chelsea at home, which we all know how easy a fixture that is. They can change that to green on the fixture ticker. And then Wolves as well. I can't see myself going without both of them for that fixture run. Because I see them attacking pretty much in line with any other of the best teams in the league at the moment. Plus, they don't share the points out as nearly as much as some of the others like Manchester City. And to be fair, Arsenal normally do. This week, it was Saka who got them. But we've seen it be Trossard. We've seen it be Odegaard, Jesus and Ketia. It does feel like when Spurs score, if they score twice and you own Maddison and Son, the chances are you're going to get something from them.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is also, you know, coming into my thinking when we spoke about Mo Salah, that I am finding it quite hard to find a route for him into my team because I just look at that Spurs team and I want so much of it. I've got Udogie, I've got Maddison in my team already, and I just see I can't go that much longer without Son when he is the one who's going to be scoring goals, right? Madison is great. And I think he'll come out of the season with a lot of points, a lot of them coming from assists mainly. But I think Son will score a lot of goals this season if he continues playing where he is. Richarlison's role as an impact sub, I think, suits him really well, actually, at Spurs. I don't think he's necessarily got what it takes to be their starting striker at the moment. But coming off the bench, I think he can do a really good job for them. So I do think Son playing that number nine role is going to stick. And if that's the case, I think there's going to be a time where we just want him just to be there, because I think he'll tick along, right? Spurs, the way they're performing, I expect them to score at least once in pretty much every game, whoever they're playing against. And if Son's playing up front, he may or may not be on penalties. We don't quite have the answer to that yet, but I need to find a route to get him, I think. And I have double Manchester United midfield, so it's not actually very difficult to pinpoint who it's going to be who's going to leave my team.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll go to United next. We've got to talk about them, but we shouldn't forget Arsenal as well in this game, right? So I've spoken a little bit there about Saka, but are the injuries kind of mounting up and now a little bit for Arsenal? So we've got, you know, Gabriel Jesus is coming back from injury. Didn't last the 90 minutes, did he? So I'm not sure whether he's fully match fit, but, you know, he's certainly getting there. We've got Martinelli now, Trossard out, you know, Declan Rice going off at halftime in this game. You know, with the City game coming up, that is going to be of a concern for Mikel Arteta. And I just wonder whether, you know, they are, you know, the second or third best team in this league, no doubt about it. And the way that they played, you know, Spurs had to be absolutely top of their game to get anything out of this game. I'm not saying I'm going cold on Arsenal assets. I've got Saka in my team. I don't think I'm going to add to him, though. And certainly the fixtures for them going forward, it's a Bournemouth away game next, which I think you'd back them to do well in. But then it's the City game. And it's Chelsea. They've got Newcastle away coming up in 11 as well on the horizon. So it's a little bit mixed. Give me your thoughts on Arsenal assets. And in particular, David Raya, who, despite conceding the two goals this weekend, looks to have nailed down that spot. And we know what we're going to get from David Raya in FPL from his Brentford days, right? We're going to get a goalkeeper that is great with the ball at his feet, is going to rack up that pass completion rate and therefore feed the underlying bonus point system.
I agree. My only problem I have with David Raya is a goalkeeper we've already spoken about, and that is Areola. Areola at 4.1 feels like an absolute gift in FPL this season, that I definitely want him because of his price. Now, I could own Areola and David Raya, but then given the fixtures that West Ham have, I'd just be benching Areola every week, which means I'm sort of taking this gift of a goalkeeper that we've been given and is performing so well for saves and some bonus as well so far this season, and saying, I don't actually want to play you. I'd rather play David Raya. I think David Raya is the best keeper outside of maybe Areola this season. Those are definitely my top two to own at the moment. The issue with owning both is I then have to put one of them on the bench every week, which is the annoying thing when you can only, of course, have one goalkeeper. So I like David Raya, but I just think with the amount of players I'm trying to fit into my midfield that we've spoken about, trying to find that cash to get Mo Salah in, I think that going to Areola for me makes more sense. But if I was on wildcard and I could find easy ways to move the money around, I think I'd definitely go with David Raya.
Yeah, I think you're right. Listen, Harry, we can't do a podcast here on Off the Bench without talking about your club. We have to go there.
Yeah.
Sad times at Stamford Bridge. Another defeat for Chelsea. Aston Villa looking very good, doing what they do best. Good start to the season for Unai Emery's team. And the fixtures, by the way, we can't let this go. The Villa fixtures coming up. Brighton, Wolves, West Ham, Luton and Forest. I mean, goodness me, we have to be talking about Watkins and Diaby, maybe even Emi Martinez. We have to be talking about the fullbacks, Moreno coming back to form, Matty Cash, whose underlying stats this season look unreal, by the way. But before we get to Villa, Chelsea are a bit of a mass sell now, aren't they, mate? I mean, Gusto with the red card, you've got to sell, right? And then Jackson picking up his fifth yellow card in six games seems kind of incredible. So he's now suspended, so therefore a sell. Chilwell can't get the start, comes on, gets booked, another zero-pointer. He's sounding like a sell as well. The only one I think I could even make a case for keeping would be maybe Raheem Sterling, who might get this. He might play nine now, right? He might play forward, given that Nicholas Jackson is going to be suspended. So you could maybe make a case there. But yeah, sorry. If the podcast listeners could see you on video right now, I'm sorry. I've made you look very, very glum. But it's not going right for Pochettino, right?
No, it's definitely not. It's been a difficult start to the season, and this game at the weekend probably highlighted a lot of the issues that we have so far this season. We created apparently 1.3 XG at the weekend, but I struggled to see exactly where all of that came from. Half of it went to Jackson, who's of course suspended. Just to sort of caveat, we do have Fulham and Burnley in the next two. So if you decide to hold your Chelsea assets, it's two decent enough fixtures. And then in game week 9, it does get very difficult. So if you ever get to game week 9 with any Chelsea in your team, it is a sell when that time comes around. Jackson, of course, suspended now, is an easy move off. Chilwell and Sterling, despite me being so negative on our performances, there is part of me that thinks they are not necessarily priority sells if you have other things going on in your team. With
you think Chilwell not a priority sell? He's a couple of starts from the bench or a couple of benchings last couple of weeks. So it's difficult to hold him at that sort of price, particularly as a lot of FPL managers would be looking at Trippier, right?
Yeah, so the options you could get to are very nice, like going to Trippier. But with Gusto suspended, I think he has to come back in because Reece James is still out. And when he got sent off, we actually moved, instead of playing Colwell at left back and having a normal right back on the pitch, we've moved De Sassi to right back and put Chilwell on the pitch playing actually at left back. So I probably expect that to happen in the Fulham game. So if you have other fires in your team to put out and you have Chilwell and you think, oh, I need to take a hit to sell him, you might want to chance it against Fulham and then Burnley whilst Gusto is suspended. And as you say, Sterling may end up playing 9 for some of it. I expect Brozier to probably start the game, but he's definitely not up to full fitness. So he probably won't be able to play more than, 60, 70 minutes, which means the last half hour of the game, as we saw at points in the game at the weekend, Sterling is likely to play through the middle. Now, if you have a spare transfer, I fully advise getting rid of them, because do I expect a clean sheet? Probably not with the way we're performing. Do I expect many goals? Also, probably not going forward as well. They're probably not, worth taking out for a hit if you have Sterling or Chilwell, because I probably expect them to start and be focal if we're going to do anything in the next couple. But yeah, as you say, it's been a difficult few weeks and I don't necessarily expect it to get any easier as well.
No, I think you're right. And before we finish up on Manchester United, because I do want to talk about those two that you've got. You've got Rashford and Bruno in your team. So I do want to talk about your plans for them. A quick word on Aston Villa from me. I thought they were really, really good at Stamford Bridge. And like I say, just continuing that good form that we've seen early on this season. As a Diaby owner, I was a bit disappointed that, Watkins, I think, was it maybe De Zarzi or was it Thiago Silva that blocked the initial Watkins shot? So therefore, it wasn't a Diaby assist, which was a bit of a shame because he's still a nice differential for me in my team. But I feel like he's not going to be much of a differential in a few weeks' time. People are going to wake up to the fact that he is, a lot of the attack, certainly obviously down that side, is coming through Diaby, and he and Watkins are working really well together. We've seen in previous weeks how Watkins gets the goal obviously at Stamford Bridge this week, but that's his first goal this season, whereas Diaby's already racked up a couple of goals. And that's because, in my view, Watkins does such a great job moving those defenders around, occupying centre halves and creating space for the likes of Diaby. So I think Diaby, really, really nice pick. And the fullbacks, of course, I've already mentioned Matty Cash. Go and have a look at his underlying stats. He is getting in all those positions that you want. And I think with Moreno coming back on the other side and there maybe being a bit of a swapping around with him and Luca Dean, Matt Cash, for me, still feels like the one to go for there in Aston Villa. Let's talk about, finish up on Manchester United then. So you've got Rashford, you've got Bruno. Yeah. Bit of an unconvincing 1-0 performance there, or have I got my Liverpool bias kicking in there a little bit? I mean, take nothing away from Bruno Fernandes. What a goal, by the way. What a goal at Turf Moor at the weekend. But an unconvincing performance. They didn't sort of blow Burnley away, did they?
No, and I'm very happy to get points from Bruno Fernandes, but it's not really the way that I want to get points, right? Because it's not that I think next weekend they're creating lots of chances for Bruno that he's going to be able to score consistently. It's never going to happen again that Johnny Evans is going to loop it over from centre-back and Bruno Fernandes is going to volley it first time Van Persie-esque into the bottom corner, right? So
yeah, true.
It's great that I'm getting points from them, but I don't see any consistency of chances where I'm going to get a consistent amount of return. So they are both on the chopping block for me, whether it's this week, whether it's next week, I don't quite know. I just look at it and think I could play Bruno and Rashford at home to Crystal Palace, or I could move to Son against Liverpool. That's the decision I've got to make, right? Do I play the fixture or do I play the team form and the individual form, which I could get with Son this week?
That's a tough game for United though, no? Home to Palace, the Man United, the Old Trafford faithful on their backs a little bit. Palace, who we've seen be defensively astute if they want to be. Tough game.
Yeah,
man.
I think having double United is definitely too much. So moving one of them off, maybe keeping one of them for that game. But the difficult decision comes right when I've got to decide which of them is going to sell, because every week it's Rashford that looked great last weekend, although no returns. Bruno got the goal this weekend. So he did play a bit further forward. At the moment, I'd probably sell Rashford. He's just slightly more expensive. They'll both probably go soon enough. yeah, looking like a bit of a mistake holding on to both of them. So yeah, it's just whether I hold going into Palace and then sell before Brentford, given the Spurs and Liverpool fixture this week, or whether I just bite the bullet and do it this week. I only have one transfer though, so one of them's going to have to stay for the weekend. So.
Mm. And I think if you've got any spots in your forward line, you could have a look at Højlund. I still think it's a little bit early to go there, but certainly watch that game pretty intently because it was on TV over here in the UK. And listen, he put a real shift in Højlund. When he came off, he looked absolutely knackered. And that will benefit, you know, benefit Rashford. It will benefit Bruno, the players around him, to have that striker now that means that Rashford can play on his preferred left wing spot. But just keep an eye on Højlund and how he develops over the next couple of weeks and months at Manchester United, because if you've got a spot on your forward line, he's, you know, not a lot of FPL managers have got him. So it could be a really nice differential. But I would just wait a little bit on him. But looks good.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel the same on him. I think he's helping the team. But again, given the performance of the team going forward, I don't think investing in them new is probably the right thing to do.
Yeah, I think you're right, Harry. I think you're right. Too early for Højlund potentially. All right, before we go, early thoughts on transfers for next week. Game week 7 coming up thick and fast. What are you thinking?
Yeah, so I've got two names on my sort of radar this week. Well, Mo Salah and Heung-Min Son, whether I try and find the room to get them in for either of the Manchester United duo. And then actually a player we haven't spoken loads about, but I'm sure they'll cover on Thursday when they look on the FPL pod more at the sort of game week 7 preview, is Carlton Morris of Luton Town with a double game week this week. So yeah, he's the other one. Do I find room in my forward line? I have the money to do Archer up to Morris, but I'd have to find someone in my in my team to bench. So currently undecided. It's probably Son or Morris coming in for me this week. How about you?
Nice. Yeah, sounds good. So I did my wildcard in 6. So therefore, I had a view to, you know, probably not spending the transfer in 7. So I'm looking at my team for game week 7. It looks all right. I've got an eye on James Ward-Prowse, you know, because maybe because you've convinced me that he's a good guy to look at. But that Sheffield United performance against Newcastle was really bad. And from a set, you know, set pieces as well. And I think if they were playing anybody else, who didn't have, you know, the sort of elite set piece taker that Kieran Trippier is, I'd say, okay, well, maybe I won't go there. But you've got James Ward-Prowse. He is, you know, up there with Trippier, if not better, in terms of the way that he can deliver a set piece and a dead ball. So I expect more pain potentially for Sheffield United and for James Ward-Prowse to profit. But yeah, my team's in pretty good shape. You know, probably going to captain Haaland again, unless I can see something during the week that changes my mind. And probably going to roll the transfer so that I've got two going into game week 8.
Yeah, nice. After a wild card, always sensible to be rolling a transfer. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So that is all we have time for today. Lee and I have chatted for a while. As we get on here and we talk about FPL, we seem to whittle on for well over what we're meant to. So just a reminder, those of you who are deciding to try and make early transfers this week, there are League Cup matches during the midweek. So do be cautious if you are trying to move early. Once all of those are done, Kelly, Jules and Sam will be back on Thursday with the FPL pod to chat in more detail about game week 7, talk a little bit more maybe about Carlton Morris and whether those Luton and Burnley players are worth the risk for the double game week. If you haven't already, make sure to join the FPL Pod League for the new season. It is still open. The code is IB3WLK. Thank you all for listening. Hope it was enjoyable and we'll see you all again next week.
Cheers, Harry. Bye, guys.